You ever share a story, and you know by the looks of people around you that they've heard that story before, and it's they're just kind of humoring you, you know, and your mind it's like the first time you've ever shared it. When your family, it's like the 50th time or something like that, and they just kind of humor you and let the story come out anyway because they know that it means it has a point to it, perhaps, or they just want to share this story again. You know, I remember I've done that. I can remember Cheryl just maybe holding up a time or two on her hands, but just joking with me that I've shared that story before. And so I probably am up here and up on in the front, and I share the story that I've shared before. Just humor me. Just act surprised like it's the first time you ever heard the story. It would make me feel good. So if nothing else, just make me feel good by thinking this is the first time he's ever shared this story. I have Billy Bob stories. Billy Bob was, I raised Angus bulls at times. I've had probably 6 or 8 or more of those throughout my farming career. And every one of them, his name was Billy Bob. So it might be the same story that you heard before, or it could be another Billy Bob story. I never changed the name. We never changed the name. It was just Billy Bob. Billy Bob was the Angus bull of the Windy Hill Farms in Tioga County, Pennsylvania. And Billy Bob, some of those had Billy Bobs had different temperaments. They were all Angus bulls, and Angus maybe not the most compliable animal that you can get a hold of, but some of them have different temperaments. It's just like your children. You're just like people. We have different temperaments, and these bulls had different temperaments. Well, the number one, Billy Bob, number one, he was half Holstein and half Angus. That didn't help his temperament any. He was still disgruntled. He didn't really like life. From the time he was about 18 months old, maybe, or a little younger, it just seemed, you could see he had an attitude. And he would just always want to kind of push the envelope just a little bit. And you could tell, and it wasn't a problem when he was 300, 400, 500 pounds. But as he continued to grow, and his attitude continued to descend, if you will, to get more aggressive, you add weight to aggressiveness in a bull, and then you end up with an issue. And so Billy Bob was now, he was topping the scales at around 1,800 pounds, which is a lot of ugliness. When you want to marry that in with a half Holstein, half Angus, and maybe didn't like his name, I'm not sure. But my neighbor called me one day, and then Billy Bob was out of the fence, and he was at my neighbor's house. He just wanted to visit. I'm sure that's all he wanted to do. He just wanted to go there and visit. Well, when he got there, apparently he didn't like the flowers, and he didn't like the dogwood tree, and he didn't like some other patio furniture, and he didn't like other things that were there. So he began to destroy everything that was on the guy's patio, everything that was in his flower garden, everything, his dogwood tree, everything was on the ground. He was kicking tail on everything that the guy owned. And the guy was a gentleman farmer, so he had a small baler, and he had a plow, and he had some, all that stuff was off its jack and off the cinder block that was sitting out. The two-bottom plow was rolled down through the field. Billy Bob was having a poor morning. And he was expressing that in his best way he could express that. And now at 1,800 pounds, you just don't go throw a rope around Billy Bob and convince him to behave himself. But when I came into the picture and I arrived in my pickup truck, I could see that Billy Bob was just finishing off a big batch of tulips. And he was just throwing them all over the lawn. And I stepped out of the truck, and Billy Bob and I had this disagreement, the spirit between the two of us. He didn't like me, and I didn't really like him. So when I got out of the truck, Billy Bob decided it was time for him to leave the vicinity. So he started on his way and down through this fairly large hay field. The hay field was probably at least a 10-acre hay field between the guy's house and the pasture where Billy Bob was supposed to be. And so he started down through that hay field, and I, at the young age and kind of a little bit brash myself, I started down after him. I said, you're going to go in that field. Well, it was fine until we got about halfway through the field. And about halfway through the field, Billy Bob thought maybe I wasn't all that scary. And so Billy Bob turned around and he started to let me know that he was no longer scared of me. As a matter of fact, maybe I wasn't all that in a bag of chips like I thought I was. And so he began to paw the ground. Now we got a 250-pound guy. We got an 1,800-pound bull. We both got the same attitude. I got a bad attitude. He's got a bad attitude. But a bad attitude plus 250 pounds doesn't equal a bad attitude plus 1,800 pounds. I'm just telling you, those two things don't equal. And I did the math. I was looking around, and I wasn't within 100 yards of anything that was bigger than a blade of grass. And so I started to calculate quickly in my mind how long it would take me to get from point A to point B. And I did the math, and I figured that a scared man, even a 250-pound guy, if he's scared, he can run about 15 miles an hour. So at 50, I can run about 15 miles an hour. Just so you know, it would take me about 14 seconds to run 100 yards. Okay, an angry bull, an upset bull, he can run about 35 miles an hour. Okay, so 100 yards, he can run 100 yards in about 4 to 6 seconds. Just let me continue to do the math there. About 40 yards, 1,800-pound disgruntled bull catches 250-pound disgruntled man. So I knew that that wasn't an option, and I'm continued. And I'm telling you, Billy Bob is digging furrows in the hayfield. He is throwing dirt all over the place. He's within 100 feet of me. He is spitting snot and slinging snot like you can't believe. It is a sci-fi movie, baby, going on in the middle of that field. And he's braying, and he's slinging snot, and he's digging the ground. He's had enough of me. I figured at that moment I was done. There's no way I can outrun this bull. I cannot hide behind this blade of Timothy that was here. He's going to still see me. This Timothy is not going to save me. But the challenge is, or what Billy Bob didn't know, is my pickup was still alongside the road. It's a 1976 Chevy 1500 four-wheel drive. I'd beat the box up a little bit so it had a wooden back on it. It was the bomb. This truck had been through the war and back. This truck was indestructible. Well, that truck is still at 100 yards. Billy Bob knows that. The tree is at 100 yards. The fence is at 100 yards. Everything's within 100, is at least 100 yards from me. Listen, I'm going to preach here. I'm just going to tell this story. You know, I'm like 55 years old now. I tell stories longer now. And just so you don't feel it, but I feel it. I can feel that moment. I can still see those big snot being flung into the air. My truck is 100 yards away, easily on the edge of the road. And I knew I couldn't make it to the truck, but one thing that Billy Bob did not realize, that there was someone else in that pickup truck. There was someone else in that pickup truck sitting alongside the road. Cheryl had gone with me. Cheryl was in the 1976 Chevy 1500. Cheryl was privy to what was going on. And at my cries, like a little girl with a skirt on, yes, when my cries went out, like, this is it, Billy Bob's digging my grave. That's what he's doing. He's going to kill me. He's going to haul me over there into that furrow that he's dug, and he's going to bury me. That's what he's going to do. But in that truck, I saw, and I see Cheryl responding to my situation. And all of a sudden, here comes a 3,500-pound 1976 1500 four-wheel drive Chevy. Now we're talking. Now we got 3,500 pounds plus 250 pounds. Now we're going to be a formidable opponent to the bull. Billy Bob did not give up at the sight of the truck. But once I got inside that truck, in the driver's seat, I'm telling you, Billy Bob gave up. Because Billy Bob went into that field in a round, he can run about 35. He went into that field about 45 miles an hour. I needed a game changer. I was in the middle of a very life-threatening situation in my life. I needed a game changer. I needed 3,500 pounds of power. I needed something more than what just was in me. Billy Bob was a part of the farm for many years or many long time after that. And so was the truck. Billy Bob did not go away. I dealt with that bull several times over the course of his life on the farm. But I never dealt with the bull again without the truck. Because I needed 3,500 pounds of power to face this situation that I was in. I was in the middle of a bad situation. I was in the middle of a situation that needed more than what I was and more than I had. The world is full of field situations. The world is full of situations that'll stare you down. The world is full of situations. Your life is full of situations that will stare you down. Your life is full of situations. This world is full of situations that'll sling snot, that'll dig up the soil, that'll bray, that doesn't think you're a formidable opponent. This life is full of those situations. Some are in the field with an 1,800-pound bull today. Some are feeling that feeling today. They tell me that the top feelings, when we get into a field situation in our life, some of the top feelings we will feel is fear. I am afraid of what this will do to me. I am afraid of what's going to go on. I am afraid of what this is going to do to me or my family. I am afraid. Fear is a real emotion that's caused by this field situation, by this 1,800-pound Billy Bob in the middle of the field. It goes on to say that doubt and guilt will be some of those things that you'll feel. You'll see something in the field. Something will come up against you. Your past will come up against you. And you'll start to feel doubt that God is even working. You'll start to feel guilt that God can do and does love you. And those field situations will breed anger, and they breed hopelessness. And those field situations will breed resentment and insecurity and grief and shame and frustration. And you'll feel those when you're in the field. You'll feel those when you can feel it, when you can see it out there. When you can see whatever's staring you down, whatever's pawing the ground around you, whatever plans to take the life out of you. You can see those things, and you can feel those things. And you don't have anything around you bigger than a blade of timothy to hide behind. And you need something. And we need something. We need something to face down the Billy Bobs in our life. I want to speak to you today. If you are the one, if you're one of those ones, and right now you got a Billy Bob in your field. And right now you know and you're afraid. And you're concerned, or you have doubt, or you feel guilt, or you feel resentment, or you feel hopelessness. I want to talk to you today. I want to reach into your hearts today. Do I think everyone in this body is in a Billy Bob, a real tense Billy Bob moment at this very moment? No, probably not. Do I think that all of us will be in Billy Bob moments sometimes in our life? Yes. Do I think our children will be in Billy Bob moments of their life? Yes, I do. Do I think that Billy Bob would care if I was 8 years old in that field? He wouldn't have cared. He didn't care if I was 8 or if I was 28. And do I think that all of us will experience Billy Bob moments? Yes. Do I think some are experiencing right now today? Yes. Do I think our children will experience it? I do. So I want to talk on those three different levels this morning. I want to talk to you out there. If you've got a Billy Bob moment right now, this is for you. If you don't have a Billy Bob moment right now, you're going to have a Billy Bob moment. And this is for you. Load up the clip. Build the ammunition. And then I want to talk to moms and dads and grandparents out there. Your children may be in a Billy Bob moment now. And I don't know if that's right or if that's true or not, but the reality is they will be in Billy Bob moments in life. And I want to prepare them for life. Right now, there is a field that does not seem like a field to you in your children's life. Just let me come over here. Here's the children. When I talk over here, I'm going to talk about our kids. When I talk here, I'm going to talk about those who will be experiencing it in the future. When I'm on this end of the trailer, there's the ones that are in it now. So those that are in it now, here's the ones that you will be in it at some point in time. Here's the children that are going to be in it. Our children are going to be in it. And I think we can take moments in our children's lives right now. Right now, those moments that doesn't seem like a field to you, but it seems like a field to your child, I think we can take them right now and prepare them for when they are here. Because Billy Bob doesn't care if they're sweet little children. I want to prepare our children. So this is a threefold message. Prepare yourself. Yeah, deal with it today. This truth is real. And then take this home and help our children become field ready for those moments in life when the bull is chasing them and fear and doubt and guilt and anger and hopelessness and resentment and insecurity and grief and shame and frustration began to overwhelm our children. Some of the fields that our children are in right now may not seem like fields to you. But use those fields right now. When your child is scared to go to bed, don't just say, well, just go to bed. There's nothing to be afraid of. But use those moments to prepare them for when the fear is the Billy Bob in the field. When they are standing over here. When they are struggling with something that just got them afraid. Use this moment. Use those fields that our children have. What prepares our children for the fields of the future? It's the fields that they have now. Whether they're a field to you or not, whether they're a field experience or not, whether they're a Billy Bob moment for you or not, it's real to them. And I want to use that. I hope I'm making sense this morning. I want to use those moments to prepare them for these moments. Take the opportunity to make them field ready. I want to give us a series of I will statements this morning, five of them. They're not just cool statements, but they're powerful truth that will alter the field situation. These are not just cool statements. These are powerful truths that will alter the situation. These are the 3,500-pound 1976 Chevy 1500 4x4 that's been through the test. These are the truths that we can give our children now, that we can put in our arsenal now, that we can shoot now. That the Billy Bobs of life will go down and we won't go down. I'm telling you one thing. It was me or that bull in that field. He was not backing off. And our children are going to face that. And it's not going to back off. We've got to equip them. Equip yourselves. Shoot. Cry out. Somebody's in that Chevy pickup truck. I'm going to give us five I will statements this morning. Five verses out of the Psalms that I think will prepare us and prepare our children for field situations. We need to prepare our children. It would be right and proper and appropriate for us to teach these to our children. Life is not wrapped in bubble wrap. We wrap our children in knee pads and mouth guards and sunscreen and car seats and helmets. But they are only good for physical encounters. The world is a rough place. We must equip our children. We must use the fields, perhaps, or just aggressively equip our children. I think with these five verses that we're going to share, I would want my children and my grandchildren to be able to quote these five verses. Any Billy Bob comes into the field, this truth would pour out of them. And not just magical potion that they think, close their eyes and quote these words. Think positive thoughts. Think positive thoughts. I'm telling you what. If I'd have closed my eyes and thought positive thoughts when Billy Bob was narrowing down on me, I'd be Billy Bob fodder. I needed a truck. These are truths that are going to alter the situations that we're in. We must equip our children. I would say spend time learning and applying these truths in any and all situations. For when you are in a field, for when you will be in a field, if you're in a field, that you're or going to be in a field, or use them to equip your children for field experiences in this world. All that to get to number one. I don't know if it's raining where you're at, but I'm wet. My air condition not working too well up here this morning. Here we go. Number one. I think this should be an I will statement that we should teach to our children, that I should have in my own heart, that if you're in the middle of this situation, grab onto it right now and just start shooting. Here we go. There's five of them. Number one is this. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. I will lie down and sleep in peace. Because God, you are the one working in my life. Because you are the one. God's got this. That's what the psalmist is saying. God's got this. I know when I face a situation, I want to know, God, you got this. Yeah, I don't know if it seems like it right now, but I know you got this, God. I will lay down in peace because, God, you're in the picture. Because, God, you're here with me. Because, God, you're 3,500 pounds of truth. And you're standing here with me. And you're in me. And you're beside me. And you're in front of me. And you're in back of me. And you're to the left of me. And you're to the right of me. I want my grandchildren to be able to say when they face the Billy Bobs, God's got this. He's got this. And not just quote it, but believe it and be programmed, so to speak, in their hearts and in their minds, knowing that God's got this. And when I fall, He will lift me up. And when I fail, He will forgive me. And when I am weak, He will strengthen me because God's got this. I would teach this verse to my children if I had them at home. And I would walk through these truths. I know you're only five. And if your children can't speak, I would be reading these over my children as they slept. If I have a little baby, I would say, someday, son, I'm going to teach you that God's got this. You got to know you can lay down in peace because God's in the picture. God's got this. And when you fall, He'll pick you up. And you're going to face Billy Bobs in your life, but don't worry. Your God is greater than any Billy Bob. And I would have that in my child's life. And I did not have that in my children's life. And I think it needs to be in our children's life. It needs to be in our lives for when we face. And if you're there, you got to know this morning, God's got this. The psalmist says, I will lie down and sleep in peace. Why? Because God's got it. I will not let fear take over. I will not let hopelessness take over. I will not let grief take over. I will not let despair take over. Because God's got this. And when I fall, He'll pick me up. And when I fail, He will forgive me because God's got this. And when I am weak, He will strengthen me because God's got this. When I am lost, He will lead me because God's got this. And when I am anxious, He will calm me. And when I stumble, He will steady me. And when I am hurt, He will heal me. And when I am broken, He will mend me. And when I'm hungry, He will feed me. And when I'm suffocating, He revives me. And when I'm without, He provides because God's got this. Things will come and things will go. but God's got it. Can you imagine that your first grade child realizes for the first time in school that they've got a test coming up? And we don't just say, oh, you get it, oh, don't worry, oh, you did this, oh, you did that, oh, it won't be that hard. But what if we just sat down with that first grader and said, listen, God's got this. I want you to lie down in peace because God's in your life. I know you're only 6 years old, but God's in your life. And God's got this. Because that test in first grade is going to turn into a tonsillectomy when they're in seventh grade. And I want to be alongside of my children in the face of those moments when a tonsillectomy seems like a Billy Bob in the field and they're afraid. And I want to be able to say, you can lie down in peace because God's got this. In seventh grade, all of a sudden in 10th grade, you got a rejection of friends. And when my teenager comes home, I want to be able to say, honey, I know one thing, God's got this. And when it turns into a driver's test in 12th grade, I want to be able to come alongside of my teenager and say, you know what? Let's pray because God's got this. And all of a sudden, when it turns into college or work or the military at 19, or it turns into marriage, or it turns into losing a loved one, or it turns into the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing in life, the next challenge in life, I want to be able to come alongside of my children, and I want my children at 16, 17, 18, and say, wait a minute! I got to have a tonsillectomy. Well, wait a minute, God's got this. I will not run in fear. I know I need to get moving. But New Life has been blessed with a lot of kids. And it's going to be blessed with several more this year and the beginning of next year. Not telling anybody secrets, but there's going to be three or four more New Lifers. It's the way church planters grow a church. Young families have more children. But I get to thinking about all those children. I get to thinking, I pray day in and day out, God, I don't want the world's hands to get on them. I don't want the world's fingerprints to get on them. I don't want the Billy Bobs. I know they're going to be in their life. I can't pray the Billy Bobs out of their life, but I can pray them 3,500 pounds of truth. And I'll drive that truck into the field. And when it got in the field, Cheryl moved over. All of a sudden, it was mine to own. I was driving the truck. And we'll drive with our children. We'll drive this 3,500 pounds of truth. But all of a sudden, they're going to be driving. They're the ones who've got to say, God's got this. And I want to raise up our children in the way they should go. I want to raise up the children with this truth in them. Number two, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I started to study that on Monday, just that, and I've used it multiple times with people that were facing already, that were facing men like me, men that were facing big oppositions in their life. And they said, I want this. I want your confidence to be in this. What? They said, what? I want it to be in that you're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Because God is working today. Because God is doing something in your life today. And I want our children, I want you to know right now, if you're in the middle of a Billy Bob, in the middle of a field, God's working. The fog and the noise and the distraction of this world We'll vie for our focus. And I'm beginning to learn that once the world gets my focus, it changes. So it keeps my focus. I've said many times, even this week, I've said many times, certain life situations is like taking inventory of a hurricane or a tornado. You can't do it. There's too much chaos. My confidence cannot be in the things of this world. My confidence needs to be in God. And I will see him working in the land of the living, in the here and the now. I want my children to know that. I want your children to know that. I want New Life children to know that. I want us to know that. I want those that are going to face Billy Bob situations. They're going to face Billy Bob situations this week. Those that you are in the middle of it right now. And the youngest New Lifer, maybe it's Bryson Yingling. I want him to know it. I want to know that we are going to see God work in the land of the living. We're going to see the goodness and the distraction of this world is going to try to take our attention away from God. And when it gets our attention away from God, we can no longer see the living, wonder-working power of God in our life. We get so distracted by the world, we stop seeing God work. When we see it plainly, and when we struggle to see it, the living, wonder-working power of God is working in my life. I want my children to know that. I want my grandchildren to know that. When the challenges and the confusion and the hardship and the need meet the truth, I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. To think that the challenges and the confusion and the hardship and the need will steer clear of our children is just plain ignorance. They need to know that God is working in the land of the living. Number three, I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. I will meditate, I will. And if I move ahead to Hebrews 11, it's not on your handout, but if we move to Hebrews 11, we see there is people who had focused on God, who had meditated on his works, and they had this great success, not because they didn't have Billy Bobs in their life. It's because they were meditating on the Word of God. And we see things like creation, and we see things like Noah. You know, just let me, Noah and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and the Red Sea situation and Joshua and Jericho situation and the prostitute Rahab who become the great-great-grandmother of King David. Don't tell me that God can't change lives. Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, a foster child who was kicked out of his family. And David and Samuel, can you imagine a generation that actually lived and believed like God can do that today? Like God can do the same thing that he did in the Bible. They're not just Bible stories. They're accounts of what a mighty, powerful, living, wonder-working God who is active in your life will do in your life. Can you imagine what it would be when our children grow up and it has been instilled in them, wait a minute, God can do anything in your life. The world tells you, you can be anything you want. No, you can't. But God can take you wherever you're at. And he can do a mighty work in your life. And he can use you to do mighty things in your life. He can use you to be a Noah to save a whole entire race. He can use you to be a Joshua who would walk in faith around the city walls of Jericho. He can use you, the Gideon hiding in the wine press, to come out as a mighty warrior. Can you imagine, and I don't know if I'm really getting this point down today, but can you imagine if a generation of our children actually believed that God did those things in the Bible? And that God would still do them in 2020. that the things like Noah and Gideon and Joshua weren't just things of the Bible, things of yesterday. They are things of today. Can you imagine what that would look like? Can you imagine what it would look like when our children would be, wait a minute, God can use me to do anything. Because he is the living, wonder-working power that's active in my life today. I will meditate. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Number four, Psalm 52:9. I will praise you forever for what you have done. Here's a challenge. For what you have done. Not for what you're doing right now in my life, God. Not what you're going to do. Not what I'm asking you to do. I'm going to praise you for what you've already done. So let me just do some math here, which I did in my office. If I have an 8-year-old, and I'm just going to challenge my 8-year-old, we're going to go over that verse, and we're going to pray through it, and then I'm going to say, God's done a lot of things in your life already. Well, I'm only 8. I know, but God's done a lot of things in your life already. And each week, we're going to sit here on a Monday morning or on a Sunday night or on an evening and Friday. We're going to sit here, and you're going to write out one thing that God's already done in your life. At 8 years old, we're going to do that once a week. We're just going to do it once a week. We're not going to get all willy-nilly. We're not going to do it daily. We're just going to do it once a week. We're going to do it once a week, and we're going to write those down. And by the time you're 18 years old, I'm going to give you this list that you have made from the last 10 years. There's going to be 520 things on that list that when my child heads out to college, I'm going to get that list out. I said, these are the things that God's already done in your life. 12 pages and 12 font. Single space, 8.5 by 11 pages, 12 of them. What a portfolio to send our children out with. What a portfolio to send them into the army with. What a portfolio to send them into the workplace. What a portfolio to send them into college. God's already done these things in your life. Can you imagine sending our children out with that list, with that power? Knowing that God has already done those things in his life. Look what it says in the rest of the psalm. I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name I will hope. That's the future. But see, when we start to know that God's already done a pile of stuff in our work, it makes us more confident to seek God for the next steps of our life. And I want my children and I want my grandchildren seeking God always. Because I want them to know that they can take them no matter who they are. No matter if they're tall or short. No matter if they're black or they're white. No matter if they're educated or not. No matter if they come from means or don't come from means. That God can take that individual and he can do a mighty work in their life and use them to do his kingdom work on this earth. That's what I want my children to do. That's what I want your children to do. That's what I want our children to do. And I think we need to teach ourselves and teach our children to be attentive of what God has already done in our life. And to let that motivate us to be expecting for God, to hope in God now. For your name is good. I will praise you in the presence of your saints. Number five, let me finish with this today. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most Holy One, O Most High. Just so you know, these are five verses of the psalm. The I will statement is in the Psalms 150 times. Here's five. This is what I want my children to be able to say, my grandchildren to be able to see, say. What if that becomes the life ambition of each man and woman and child in this parking lot today? Can you imagine if someone would ask your child at the end of their school year, what are you going to do after high school? And what if their response was this, I will praise the Lord with all my heart. What if they said, I will tell others about God, what God has done? What if this psalm, Psalm 9, 1 and 2, what if that become their life mission? That I will praise the Lord with all my heart. That's my goal. What are you going to do after college? What are you going to do after high school? I'm going to praise God with all my heart. Because He's a wonder-working God. Because He's alive. He's working in my life. Because He's already done 520 things in my life already. Why would I not want to trust Him for the 521st thing? What if this was the mission? What if this come out of your child's heart? When someone asks them, what are you going to do after high school? I will praise the Lord with all my heart. I will tell others about what God has done and is doing in my life. I will thrive in and continue to find my purpose in God. I will find true success in the Most High God. Can you imagine? Oh, and by the way, I'm going to be a welder. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to be a truck driver. And oh, by the way, I'm going to work at the mill. And oh, by the way, I'm going to go to college. And oh, by the way, I'm going to be a police officer. And by the way, I'm going to join my mom and dad on the farm. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to be a preacher. But that's not my goal. My goal is to praise the Lord with all my heart. To tell others about what God has done and is doing in my life. And I will thrive in and continue to find my purpose in God. And I will find true success in the Most High. I will. I will lie down in peace. I will lie down and sleep in peace because You, O Lord, make me dwell in safety because You are in my life. I am still confident in this. And just so you know, Psalm 27, David has a Billy Bob in the field. And this is his field statement that he's making right now. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Billy Bob, dig all you want. That ain't my grave. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name, I will hope. I will take those 520 things, and I'm going to be fully expectant of the 521st. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart, and I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you, and I will sing or find my success in your name, O Most High. Let me pray. Father, thank you for these moments, and Lord, I don't know what end of the trailer that we're on, but I know all our kids are on the tail end of this trailer. And I know some are on the front end of this trailer. And I know that all of us are in the middle of this trailer. Father, throughout the Psalms, I see so many psalmists being confident in you. And they were facing one Billy Bob after another, after another, after another. And this truth, this 3,500 pounds of four-wheel drive truth, come roaring into the picture. And it altered the field situation. So, Father, I pray for those that are facing Billy Bobs right now. I pray that they would know that you are working in the land of the living, that you are active in their life, that you will do mighty work in and through them. I pray for those in the middle of the trailer, that we wouldn't just wait till the Billy Bobs show up, but we would be prepared for those, knowing that they're going to be here. And I pray that each one of our children would be prepared so powerfully that no matter the Billy Bob that come in the field, they wouldn't just push it away, but they would stand in 3,500 pounds of four-wheel drive truth. And they would see you do a mighty work in their life, which you will over and over and over and over. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these moments together. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for each person that is here. Thank you that we could join together on this day. Father, continue to unite us with you. Continue to heal us. Continue to heal our country. Father, we love you, and that's because you first loved us. So thank you for taking the risk on us. Help us to be men and women who are walking in the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.